My name is Kirsty, and I am the host of the Mindset and Me podcast. Formerly, I'm an accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, and wellness expert. I'm obsessed with helping you navigate the messy middle and find clarity in every season of life. Informally, I'm a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the life lessons and learnings from the most incredible guests to help you gain clarity and get into an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I am joined by someone absolutely incredible. When I tell you this woman has the knowledge, she literally has the knowledge. She is just a force to be reckoned with. And her story, as soon as I found out about it, I had to get her on the pod. I think we connected on Instagram, and within about 4 days, I was down in her DMs like, you have to come on and talk about your story. Polly is an amazing, amazing evergreen marketing coach. And if you're not sure what evergreen marketing is, or if you're not sure it's for you, this episode is going to educate you and probably want you to implement an amazing evergreen strategy. The main focus and attention that she gives to every single client is what sets Polly apart. And truly, I feel so honored that she came on the podcast. I learned so much from her, her cushy way of working, as she will go into all of the details behind the name. But similarly, the struggles and the stories of moving from living on benefits, having to leave where she was living, come back to the UK and literally start her business on her own with her two children. It's phenomenal. It's inspiring. She is so kind as well, and just so open with the way that she communicates with us and all the lessons that she shares. And I'm so grateful to have her on the podcast this week. So welcome to the podcast, Polly. How are you today?
I'm really well, thank you. It's a gorgeous sunny day in Brighton, so I'm feeling great.
Love that you're also by the sea. I'm by the sea in Yorkshire, and it's just something about it, isn't there? It just sets you up in this tranquil life, I believe.
100%, 100%. I always feel claustrophobic when I'm away from the sea.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder now, how did I live in London 17 years? We'll never know, but we move. So I wanted to dive into now, Polly's, we recently connected on Instagram and I became obsessed with her, as I'm sure all of you are going to if you don't already know her. And I've delved, obviously, doing research for the podcast, more into your story, which I find so inspiring and so strong as a fellow female entrepreneur, you know, finding our own path in life. So if you don't mind kind of almost going back before we start, how did you get to where you are, and what were the main pivotal moments for you?
Well, great question. I often say that like entrepreneurialism kind of chose me rather than the other way around, which is a kind of way of romanticizing the fact that I was a single mom. Mm-hmm. I'd left a comfortable home in Gibraltar with my ex-husband, and I'd taken my two small children to Brighton because that's where I grew up and where my family were. And I had about, I don't know, about 8 years marketing experience at that stage. So I initially was looking for work, but none of it came without the sacrifice of spending time with my children. Mm. And because I just put them through the ordeal of, you know, separating with their dad. And also because, you know, it's a magical time when they're like, I mean, I think they were like one and I'm trying to think how old they were, but they were really small. Like basically neither of them were in school at that stage. So it was a really magical time, and I didn't want to miss out on any of it. I was being a bit stubborn when I look back on it. I was just like, I'm going to make money and I'm not going to sacrifice time my kids. And so, and also, to be honest with you, I was struggling to find work because people were a bit, you know, there couldn't be any allowances and the kind of salaries were rubbish. Anyway, without going more into that, I just thought, well, let's use these marketing tools I had. I had extensive digital marketing experience. Yeah. And I thought, let's just throw that into whatever kind of contracting roles I could find. So I started off that way. And I started to actually get burnt out as a contractor. And I remember at the time when I was getting divorced, someone saying to me, why don't you hire a life coach? And I was like, well, get coached on life? Like, surely that's just something we do. Like, who's going to tell me how to do life? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, totally.
But fortunately, a life coach fell into my path on Instagram, and she was highlighting all the ways we can fall into burning ourselves out. Mm. And I really saw myself in what she was sharing. So not only did I hire her, but that also gave me the confidence to then strike out as my own personal brand and start that path, which I've been on now for 4 years. And And what was really beautiful about it was working with her and having worked with nutritional therapists and other amazing self-employed women in the past, I recognized really quickly, even though my background was around supporting e-commerce and very small startups and, you know, digital marketing, I mean, it was all kind of very impersonal. I was really excited to support other women like myself mm-hmm. to help them create that freedom and flexibility where they didn't have to sacrifice whether they wanted to be a parent or whether they wanted to be successful. I wanted them to be able to have both. And so that became my mission. And that's kind of, you know, I've done it under various different guises over the last 4 years, but that's what I've been doing all this time.
I love it so much. Your passion when you talk as well, people, your face just lights up when you're talking about supporting women, because there is like a genuine care and a genuine passion for it. And I think that shines through and it's beautiful to hear. And again, like taking the brave step, but I always want to like spend some time in that moment when you decided that this is what you wanted to do. You get the fear, is this the right thing to do? I obviously have so much that's relying on me. How did you navigate through that time?
With difficulty.
Yeah, right, isn't it? Yeah.
When I first struck out as, as a personal brand, those first 2 years, I have never done so much self-development work. I didn't even really know what self-development work was prior to that. You know, I'd been to therapy and stuff, but I learned all about the subconscious. I learned all about energetics. I was incredibly curious, you know. I really recognized the difference, you know, the difference in how we perceive the world and what we are entitled to and the difference that makes to the outcomes we receive. Mm. Like, what was interesting was, before I was in this predicament that I was a single mum, I had been doing the odd kind of side hustle digital marketing thing in the past, but I'd never made money from it because I didn't need to. Yeah. And now I was in this situation where I needed to make enough money. And what was really interesting was where before I'd say, okay, that's 400 quid for like a week's worth of my work. Suddenly I was saying, oh no, it's £1,000 for a week's time. And people were going, yeah, okay. And that really opened my eyes. Yeah. I was like, here I have been telling myself stories that people will only pay so much. Mm. But when you're in that tough spot, when you are rock bottom and you know you need to be making enough money, and you know, I was so clear on what I needed. I knew where I wanted to live. I knew the lifestyle I wanted to give my kids. I knew the holidays I wanted to take them on. So I was really clear on the number I needed to achieve. And I was really, really clear that I had the skills to help the people, to kind of help them also be building that as well. So it was kind of beautiful, like there was this ripple effect of like building up my life while also building up other entrepreneurs' lives along the way. But that just made it easier to, I mean, I'm not a naturally boundaried person. I was a huge people pleaser, but I had to learn boundaries. I had to learn to be like, to have the balls to kind of command the kind of money that I was, I mean, I say balls, I mean, that's a disservice to women. Because
we don't need those actually.
Yeah, I think it was probably I think the main eye-opening piece around that was recognizing that when you step outside your comfort zone, it's amazing how much is just already so easily given and how much we hold ourselves back from because we just tell ourselves stories that it's going to be way more difficult than actually it is. You know, I really learned very quickly how we can be the architect of our own lives when we have the nerve to follow through on the things that we really desire, you know?
What was that? Was there like a pivotal moment when you finally recognized that and you saw that?
Well, I mean, there was some horrible things that happened along the way and that, you know, while I worked with a coach around burnout, unfortunately, it took longer for those learnings to be truly embedded. So I really did burn out at one point. And, you know, it was the beginning of COVID, so most people didn't notice. I spent like 2 months working from my bed, which I think most people were doing anyway. And I still carried on working despite having that collapse. But I think, to be honest with you, it wasn't really one moment. It was my children. It was every day looking at my children. To be honest with you, probably initially fueled by guilt and a sense of, I don't want you to have any less. Because I've decided I can't live the way I was living, but I don't want that to ever negatively impact you. You know, so when we were going through COVID and lockdown and we were in that little flat, I remember just looking at the houses across the road with their lovely little gardens thinking, that's what I'm working for. I want us to be living in that house across the road, which we are now living in.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, that's incredible in itself, that drive and that passion. I'm curious, this is just actually just a random question, but do you think that can be taught, that drive and the passion?
That's such a great question, because I often say I don't think it's a coincidence that so many entrepreneurs have a rock bottom story.
Yeah.
I think there's something very powerful about being really close to your worst case scenario.
Yep.
And realizing that actually you can still laugh in those moments. There's still hugs and kisses in those moments. There's still optimism and opportunity in those moments. Mm. And there's almost a kind of rebirth where it's like, well, it's happened now, so what next, you know?
Yeah.
You know that whatever you were doing before led you to where you are now. And so the only thing you can do now is do things differently, you know, and believe in yourself and back yourself, and also recognize that, you know, for my children, I didn't want them. I recognized my words weren't enough. My actions were everything. And if I wanted to show them that anything was possible, I needed to model that myself.
Mm. Yeah, it's so inspiring, honestly. And I just, the drive and the passion. Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Everyone does have a lot of these stories, and I definitely have like some very pivotal stories. But again, it's the making of you, isn't it? It's either you become the victim in that situation, or you get, actually, that did happen and that was awful. And I never wish that on anyone, but let me show you what I can be. Let me show you my potential.
100%. I remember every time I had to go up to speak about Universal Credit and how much I was earning. And they have this whole thing that in the first year, they'll help you with your setup. And then the second year, you basically need to prove it's working, or you get, you know, you lose the Universal Credit stuff. And I just remember feeling so driven every time I walked into the offices, just thinking, I want this to be the last time I walk in here. And I remember it being the most empowering call in July 2020, calling them up saying, I don't need this anymore. And they were saying, are you sure? A lot of people think that. And then they come, and I was like, no, I'm really, really sure. And they're like, it's really hard to get back on. So, you know, and I was like, It's done. Still felt scary though. I think it's really important to kind of be honest about the fact that, you know, of course it feels exciting, but it equally feels terrifying on the other side. You know, when we moved into the house, I remember people congratulating me and me just not being able to receive it because I was just thinking, I just really hope I don't lose this now.
Oh,
but 4 years on, we're still going good. So
absolutely, absolutely. Well, good for you. This is why you had to come on the podcast, because it was just so inspiring. So I want to touch on, you are obviously this marketing expert. Before we go into that, because I really want to pull out basically all your knowledge. Talk to me about manifestation, because you obviously, you know, saw the vision, saw the house, you're in the house. Talk to me about this process. This is I don't want to say it's a buzzword, it's definitely not, or a trend, it's definitely not, but everyone's kind of talking about it at the moment. What's your power? Like, how have you managed to do that, and how are you harnessing that going forwards?
I love that you've asked this question, because I feel like I probably have I love the woo, just to be clear, but I probably have the least woo explanation of manifestation.
No, I like that. Yeah.
than anyone else, in that what I think is really true, and what I've observed in other successful clients I've supported, is that manifestation to me is a bit like a GPS tracker, that, you know, you need to put in that location, and, you know, it may be along the way you get distracted and you go down the wrong way and you have to find your way back. It may be that you hit traffic. It may be that there's a slight detour. It may be at some point you slightly alter that destination because you realize it's not really in alignment with who you are and your values. Whatever it is, but ultimately, if you know what you want and then you take every decision in alignment with that desire, I don't believe we necessarily have control over the timeline. There is an element of the more you back yourself, the more kind of disciplined you are, the sooner these things will drop in for you. But there's obviously a certain element. You know, I once worked with someone called Laura Huston, who talks about holding things loosely. And I'm a huge advocate for that term of, you know, like knowing what you want, but holding it loosely so you don't miss the other magic. I think if you're too centered on one particular thing, you could potentially miss a whole load of other magic, right? But in the way that, for example, I knew I wanted to live in this house, for me, it's about getting the details, like not just thinking, oh, I'd really like that house, but instead being like, well, then how much do I need to be earning for me to get that house? Like the house I'm living in now, there weren't any to let or to kind of to buy signs on my road at all. I had to go into the street WhatsApp and say, we need to move from here, but I really like this area. And I had to proactively seek it. If I just waited for it to land in my lap, we wouldn't be living here right now. And even getting into this house, because I'd only just started earning well and because I'd been on benefits, there was some pushback. They were like, no, you can't move in here. We don't trust that you're going to be able to pay on time. I didn't say that exactly, but that's what they were implying. And there was a real, you know, I had to do all sorts of things to help win their trust and kind of be adaptive to it. But had I not been fixated on the end goal of being in this house, we wouldn't be here. And then similarly, once I was in this house and knew I wanted to stay, I made sure the way I marketed myself, the way I positioned my offer, the way I did my pricing, the way I structured my time, that everything aligned with my goals. And that's what I've done the entire way. Like, I want to start my day with meditation. Okay, so how do I need to structure my day to make that possible? I never tell myself the story of that's impossible or I can't or I'm not the kind of person who can have that. It's always like, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. So on a practical level, what do I need to do to support that becoming a reality? You know, if I'm working too many hours, how much more, like what, how do I need to restructure my offers to like make that happen? So yeah, like I say, a very unsexy explanation.
No, I like it. I like it. Well, I'm the same. I think there's, we have to be really mindful of the conversation around manifestation that, you know, the universe and you put it out there and it'll happen. It just won't. You got to work for it.
Exactly. If that were true, there's so many people who are suffering in this world, and I can't believe for a second that they don't deserve more, you know?
Quite right. Quite right. So moving into marketing, this is what I want to talk to you about. You just have a wealth of knowledge in marketing, and you specialize obviously in evergreen marketing. So before we get into that, obviously some people may not even know exactly what evergreen is. What is the main inspiration behind this style of marketing?
Simplicity.
Yeah.
Simplicity. Funnily enough, when I first started out in 2020, I had a free Facebook group called Digital Marketing Made Simple.
Right.
Really boring name.
No, I like it. Just what it says in the tune. Yeah. Like
but and since then, you know, I now talk about cushy business, but what's interesting is to see that that same thread has just always been there in my business. And it comes back to my own personal situation that, you know, when I was starting my business, I only really had 6 hours in the day to work with, if that really, because I was also doing the laundry, cooking meals, picking up calls from the school, you know, and just fitting it all within school hours. And it really helped me recognize how much time we waste on things that just don't actually need to be done. And that basically, you know, comes back to the whole theme of like, we get to be the architects of our life. And similarly, when it comes to evergreen marketing, the reason why I got excited by evergreen marketing was twofold. One was because I'd been in this container where the emphasis was on launching every month. And I've got a very sensitive nervous system.
Yeah.
So I found myself just getting exhausted. And I started to resent the work and thinking, if this is what I need to do to be successful, then quite frankly, I don't want it. And beyond that, I could see other people in the same container, which was wonderful in many other regards, but I could see them having mental health breakdowns over the pressure they were putting themselves through. Mm. And I was just thinking, surely it doesn't have to be this way. And what was interesting, because I'd been running ads for other clients, because that's part of my digital marketing kind of toolkit, for one client who'd made 7 figures in 6 months with one evergreen online course, with just continuous ads running to a passive funnel, I'd seen evidence of how much easier it got to be. And so again, coming back to that whole architect piece, I was like, if I've actually supported a client to create those kind of results, then what on earth am I doing it this way? And how about instead, I help other people create similar results with evergreen marketing? Because I believe, you know, and nowadays in 2024, it's all the more relevant. I think in 2023, it was still a bit of a buzzword that not many people were aware of.
Yeah.
But I'm increasingly seeing more people talking about it because, you know, when you're live launching all the time, you're just on a perpetual roller coaster of like how good the last launch has been to the next. Well, with evergreen marketing, you know, if you believe in nurturing your nervous system, if you believe in sustainable, spacious, scalable businesses, then it's the only way to do things. You can combine live launching, but evergreen marketing is that way to be able to plan ahead and think quarter to quarter and hire confidently, because you've got a baseline that you can rely upon.
I don't do it. So I'm like, right, tell me everything. No, I've gone through phases, and mine is a very complicated reason why. I'm actually banned from Facebook marketing. Should I even say this on a podcast? But it's not my, it's like, I can't run ads. It's not my fault. Basically, someone hacked my account and ran a fake page. No. Yeah, it is what it is. Whatever. So I was working with somebody and they helped me to an extent, but I get the, it's the, for me, what I really love is not just the simplicity, but the projection that you can create. And I think that it's really difficult when you are an entrepreneur. You kind of, you know, if you book in clients for minimum 6 months, you kind of know you have this. But realistically, you don't know when you're going to have the peaks and when you're going to need to put more energy in. So one question I have on the back of that is, you know, launching is, I quite like launching. I like sales, right? Yeah. You know, I come from like an advertising background. I like it. But it is, you know, lots of ups and downs. What happens when you maybe decide to, you know, adopt a more evergreen model? You don't feel like you're having these launches. Is there still the fire and the drive for people to want to invest in the same way?
100%. Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. Because people really, what I found and what we've seen so much evidence for is when you buy under false urgency, which is essentially what live launching
yeah,
creates.
Exactly.
It's that sense of now or never or yeah. now in the, you know, that can actually, in many scenarios, create buyer's remorse later on, where they kind of think, oh, joined now because I didn't want to miss out. And there's lots of marketing tactics that kind of reinforce that in terms of like FOMO marketing, where you kind of go, welcome to this person. It gives that person like, oh, I'm the only one that's not joining. And there's so many things that we can do with marketing that kind of reinforces that sense of like, you're either committed to your goals or you're not, get in or get out. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of what we're taught, you know, is a lot of almost conditioning that we have within the coaching space where it's so normalized. And really the best clients that you'll ever work with are the ones who've come to you because they are solution seeking and they've got that internal, you know, like that internal urgency to work with you. They know now's the right time to work with you and you are the perfect person to work with. And those are the people who get the very best results, who are the easiest to work with, who are the most self-motivated, autonomous in their learning. And there are, of course, things you can do with your marketing to create additional motivation to work with you. So, for example, with evergreen marketing, you can do things like say this month. So, for example, last September, when I was running a mastermind day in London, I said anyone who signs up to join my program this month will also get, you know, like a free pass to come along and join my mastermind day, which is worth £1,000. So, like, you know, that was a big motivation. Other times in the past, I've said, you know, when you join this month, you get an additional month inside the container. When I was enrolling in August, because I was going to be on holiday. So I was like, there you go, you get an extra month's access to the content. I won't be there, but you will get ahead. So there's always little things you can do to create some kind of like, okay, now's the obvious time to do it. But ultimately, when you're always growing your following and you're always nurturing that following, there will always be people trickling through to your offer, particularly when it's positioned in a way that makes it a total no-brainer. Like there are a few pieces you need to have together, which is called my cushy framework. But when you have all those pieces, evergreen selling is really easy.
Okay, so talk us through this framework. I've obviously done some research on it. And it's amazing. And also the name's great. But talk, for anyone who's not heard of it yet, talk us through.
So I call it the cushy business framework. You know, it's always fun to give these things a name. And essentially it stands for, C stands for commit to your cush. Now, I say that because I believe the most successful business owners are the ones who don't follow cookie cutter templates in terms of how they build their businesses, and they make it work for them. You know, I've worked with carers who've got very little time available to them. I've worked with people who hate being visible but are amazing writers. I've worked with people who actually are really happy to spend, I don't know, a year in the push of their business to allow for the cush on the other. So it's recognizing what works for you. So that, as I kind of shared with the architect piece, like if you know where you want to get to, then you'll do everything in alignment with that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we're not doing this whole idea of hustle, hustle, hustle hard to get to the other side, that we're already building a life that feels fabulous while building out the business. Because as I shared earlier, like the timeline isn't something we always have control over. And if we're sacrificing the whole way, you're going to give it up so much sooner because you're like, oh, forget this. This feels too much like work. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get distracted by what that person's offering over there. And, you know, ping, 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 between all those, like one of those little balls, like pinging from my coach to mentor to strategy to tactic, not getting anywhere, anywhere fast. So the second part is up-level your offer suite. And this really is like the jewel in the crown in terms of what you need to do. Because when you have a knock it out the park offer, when you truly understand what your ideal client is seeking and you create the perfect solution for them and make it a total kind of no-brainer for them to come and work with you, even if you were live launching, you would have people reaching out to you going, when is this happening again? I really need it. Like, if you already have people doing that, that's a good indication that Evergreen would be a good fit for you because you've created something that people are excited to get inside already. And that piece is really, really important because I've worked with a lot of coaches who've, you know, gotten to where they are because they're people like them as a personal brand, or they've plowed lots of money into Facebook ads and then they, you know, show up to do these like 5-day challenges and really nurture those relationships. And selling that way is very different to selling to an entirely cold lead. I like to support my clients to create the kind of business that you can land on their account and be wanting to buy from them the same day, you know, to binge some of their content or look at their podcast and be like, I'm in. Because that makes the difference, right? When someone discovers you and you are incomparable and they're not looking at you against other mentors or other mindset mentors, and instead just seeing your unique way of working and knowing that is what they need, that makes all the difference. And I often talk about starting with one core scalable offer before you start distracting yourself with having a hugely complex offer suite. You know, I compare it to like spinning plates. If you've got loads of plates spinning, they're probably all going to be spinning and slightly crap, right?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say words like that?
You can say whatever. Yeah, you're fine.
we've said
way worse. Yeah.
But you know, if you've got one and you've got it spinning well, then you'll have the attention and energy to give to those other spinning plates should you want to bring them in. But I've also supported clients to get to 7-8 figures with one offer alone because they recognize it's not about constantly creating new offers for the same people. It's about constantly bringing new eyeballs onto their amazing offer. And as long as you, and that's such a simple thing to be focusing on, but I see so many people going the opposite way and just constantly creating new offers for the same 100 people in their following. So that's you. Commit to your kush, uplevel your offer suite. S stands for selling, systemize, and validate, which, yeah, I know, that part's a bit messy in my framework.
But
essentially what it boils down to is, particularly if you're creating a new offer, before you even think about Evergreen, you do need to prove that you can sell it. A lot of people like to think they can just buy a funnel, have an Evergreen offer, and it's going to be that simple. But I do always recommend live launching an Evergreen funnel before you turn it Evergreen to validate that there is a demand, to validate that, you know, you're meeting any objections head on without needing to have a conversation. Ideally, you want a sales page that is so comprehensive, you're barely needing to have a sales call. Or if you are having a sales call, it's really just one for them to be like, I'm so glad it's coming. How do I get in? Am I a good fit? You know, you want that kind of conversation. And systemizing is also the part of, you know, if you're used to running your programs as a cohort, it's learning how to systemize your offers so that people can be enrolling either all the time or at the beginning of each month or at the beginning of each week, whatever makes most sense for you, in a way that's predominantly automated, to be honest with you, in terms of the systems of bringing people in, so that, you know, you're not thinking, oh God, another person signing up, how am I going to manage that, or spending loads of money on your assistant helping you. You've just got it all automated, which is really easy to do with something like Airtable. And then H is about harnessing the momentum. So that's about really understanding what I refer to as your Evergreen engine. And what I mean by that is data, which most entrepreneurs are allergic to. Don't talk to me about data.
Oh God.
But, you know, data tells us so much, and it really helps you understand what of your marketing efforts are working, what in your funnel is working. Like, so many people will go, this offer isn't working, chuck it out, start on a new one. When actually there's one tiny piece of their funnel, like where maybe people aren't opting in to their opt-in, or maybe they are opting into the opt-in, but they're not interested in the offer, or they're getting to the sales call and actually they're a really bad fit for your offer, so you're not converting as many of them. So we want to understand all of those pieces. And this is where Evergreen can be really unattractive to people, because the honest truth is Evergreen isn't an overnight success thing. It is about refining, optimizing. So this is why it's quite good to maybe combine it with live launching while you go through that process of optimizing it.
That makes sense.
And some people land on it immediately. Some people, you know, I've had clients who literally have gone from 5 to 7K months to 20K months with 1K spend a month on ads. And they've been doing that for over 2.5 years now. Well, for others, it can take a whole year to get to the stage where it's being lucrative. And the why, of course, in Cushy, after harnessing momentum, is YOLO. Because it comes back to my philosophy of, you know, you can't get time back, you know. And this is about creating something that truly is essentially a marketing machine and an amazing client experience kind of machine. And people often associate Evergreen with passive, but, you know, these programs get to be ones where you are engaging with your clients, you know, like a mastermind, essentially, you know?
Yeah, I really like that. I think as well, I'm really glad that you raised that, because there is that mentality that as soon as it goes evergreen, you sit back in bed and you just watch the sales come in, and it's totally, and nothing is ever passive, like nothing, and nor should you want it to be. You know, you would want to be offering more and more every time with your wealth of knowledge and getting experts involved to speak, and however it's set up as a program. But I think it's really important. So I'm like so glad you touched on that, because I've seen so much mixed messaging online around evergreen.
No, I hate the word passive. I think it's really about leverageable income.
Yes, love that.
You know, like, because ultimately there can be passive elements to what you're doing, but ultimately there's nothing passive about running a business. No. You know, I mean, who wants to be on a laptop on a beach anyway?
I actually don't.
Exactly. I believe in creating a business where you have enough time freedom that you don't need to take your laptop out with you.
Quite right.
It is also recognizing that it takes time. And most people, you know, like if you look at Instagram for more than 10 minutes and you're in the business space, you will be hit by probably at least 10 ads, all giving you like quick wins, all giving you like make this money in this short time. Like, we're sold on speed all the time. And it's really to the I feel really passionate about this, but it's really to the detriment of so many business owners, because it gives them the false illusion that success can be an overnight thing. And yes, we can get quick wins overnight for sure. But at the same time, the truly kind of the bread and butter of your business, the stuff that's really going to enable you to take those big holidays, to lean back, to be able to not be thinking about your business all the time, that isn't overnight work. You know, that's why most of my kind of high ticket investments with me are all at least 12 months, because it takes time. And I don't want to work with anyone who thinks it's going to happen overnight, because they will be sorely disappointed.
No, definitely not. I mean, again, I have that conversation. I have 6 months minimum to work with clients. Yeah. And then I'm working with obviously a few coaches to help them kind of build a corporate arm to their business. And you know, it's lifelong work, right? It's not going to just happen quickly, and you won't just get a partnership within a week. It doesn't work in that way. But what you need to be is really succinct and passionate and driven about your purpose and your why for doing it. And then as 100%. Soon as you have that, that will just keep you going every day. Because you have some months that are slower, you know, and are slightly more difficult, and you will lose clients. It's natural, but as long as you have the passion and the fire and the drive to come back to, that's the magic, isn't it?
It is.
Thank you. This is honestly, it's so, I mean, I've got honestly so many questions I need to ask you. I'm like, one thing I want to touch on is about money mindset, because I put out just early this morning, two people came back about money mindset questions. So I'm really interested to know, when you were going through the process of obviously starting again, starting from zero, essentially, how did you keep going, and how do you harness your money mindset now with your success? I guess two-pronged question.
I mean, I feel like money mindset is, I think one of the most healthy things around money mindset is to recognize the work is never done.
Yeah,
I always know there is another level that can be unlocked. And at the same time, to recognize like money is one part of abundance and wealth and happiness. And you know, to me, I'm always just trying to balance the two things in terms of recognizing, yes, I love money, but I also love the way I run my business. Mm. I love my kind of the spaciousness around how I run my business. So, for example, at one point I had a micro agency and I had no desire in a million years to turn it into a large agency, and which would, of course, made me a lot more money. And I had no doubt I'd be able to achieve it. But I also didn't want to spend my time managing people or managing somebody who's managing people. Like, I knew what really lights me up every day is the conversations I have directly with my clients. So I think the really important piece for me, at least in terms of money mindset, is, you know, I'm always challenging myself to kind of, I mean, as I say this, I'm like recognizing a few things. Like, I have had some incredibly phenomenal financial months and financial years, to be honest with you. My growth happened really, really rapidly, but it also really opened my eyes to 50K months mean nothing if you finish that month feeling exhausted, feeling like you haven't spent that much time talking to your kids, feeling like you're working with poor fit clients, feeling like you're not entirely confident in terms of what it is that you're delivering. And I've also equally worked with clients who feel that same way, where they're making the money, but they're not entirely confident in the program that they're delivering and the results they're getting for them. So for me, the business I build is a business where I can comfortably sleep at night feeling really good about what I'm creating for my clients, about the money I'm earning, about what that allows for me. You know, this year I'm getting married. We're going to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks. You know, I get to do nice things for my kids, take them to the West End for the theatre. Like, for me, there's a certain amount I wanted to achieve to feel good. And I have to admit, I've reached a stage where I'm a bit like, I'm just comfortable. I'm not feeling the need to go much further beyond. And I fully trust that more is coming. Like, I know there is more coming because it's just inevitable. The compound effect of showing up and standing out as an authority in a space means it's coming, as long as you obviously make space for it. And this is why I believe in scalable programs. Everything I built is build in terms of programs is designed to scale. So I guess with money mindset, it comes back to that piece of when you believe you can achieve those sums of money, you will build the business that can hold those sums of money. And you'll build the resilience and the kind of receptiveness to also have that money. So around money mindset, one of the biggest things I did when I had my existential crisis around 25K months, 50K months, like, why am I not feeling happy yet? Why am I not there? I did work for a year with a coach on nervous system regulation and receiving so that I could feel, so I could actually enjoy it. So she could help me understand, why is it not feeling good? Yeah. One of the mistakes I made in the past as well was I could create the money, but I wouldn't hold on to it. I kept on putting the money back out there, you know, because I just was scared. There was maybe part of me that was just trying to keep my circumstances exactly the same. So it's ongoing work.
Yeah.
It's ongoing work.
It's interesting. It's definitely more prevalent in women as well.
100%.
And it's a really difficult one to navigate, isn't it? The guilt you have when you have, like, I don't know, when you've had bigger months, you feel undeserving. It's really hard to navigate it. Like, why me? I'm no better than anybody else. And actually, so then you want to share that back out, but then then you'll have like 3 quiet months and you're like, okay, cool, should have budgeted that slightly better. Great. Lesson learned.
No, that was so my journey in like year 2 of my business. There was so much. So this year I've learned to be a lot more measured. I've also created what I refer to as like the bread and butter part of my business, which is always having that consistency piece in terms of revenue, which enables me to do the other pieces in a way that I can hold it more loosely. And so for me, I've always got like my baseline that I need to create, which then makes what I create on top, it feels more playful.
Yeah.
And that's what feels good for me. But yeah, I think it's one of those things that we always have to be kind of curious with ourselves about and always allow space for that magic and for the money to drop in, because it is amazing how it does drop in when you believe it's possible.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's actually giving me like shivers, you saying that. It's quite right. You have to believe it's possible and it will be possible. So thank you so much. I guess for anybody listening who, I'm going to leave all of your details in the show notes, but how can they work with you and how are they going to, yeah, what's the way they can work with you the best? Because I know they're going to want to work with you now.
Well, I have 2 different offers. I have a group program called Never Have I Evergreen, which helps those earlier on in business to create their, I love it too, to create their, you know, standout offer. And for those who are more established, who already have an offer, but they know it could do with optimizing and they want to be selling it evergreen, I have a mastermind that's launching in September 24. But there are other things. So ultimately, I just recommend people reaching out to me. I'm one of those people that has direct conversations with anyone who reaches out to me. I don't have some middleman that talks to you. I love connecting with people.
And
actually, one thing that will really help anyone who's curious to learn more about all of this is I have a free resource called the Cushy CEO Roadmap, which speaks to every stage you could be at in business and gives you the roadmap to get towards the stage where you have your evergreen offer suite selling for you in your sleep. Do go check that out. I'll share the link with you so you can share it with your listeners.
That sounds awesome. And we always like to end the podcast with one question. So when you're having those days, as we all do, what is your one mindset hack that you come back to?
It comes down to 2 words, and I always share these with my clients too, which is compassion and curiosity. And those 2 words really helped with absolutely everything. I think there are many times running a business where we can doubt ourselves, almost want to burn it down to the ground. It's really challenging. It's the biggest resilience test ever. But always being compassionate with the thoughts that come up and being curious as to what they're really telling you is one of the fastest ways to really have incredible self-awareness and to be able to support yourself on this journey, knowing not every day needs to be a good day. Not every day needs to be a productive day. And we are a sum of all these parts. And so, you know, allow yourself to have days where you doubt it all and trust that tomorrow gets to be better.
Oh my gosh, honestly, you're giving me goosebumps. I'm not even joking. You can see I'm getting like emotional listening to it because it's so right. I just want to thank you so much for being here. As I said, I'll share. You all need to follow Polly, connect with Polly. She's so lovely. And I'm so grateful you took the time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
I really, really hope you enjoyed that podcast as much as me. So you know what time it is. It's time to go into our mini meditation. And so I want you to start by just finding comfort where you are. And maybe if you're sat at a desk, just turn the chair around. If you're at home, maybe you want to just sit somewhere cozy and comfortable, maybe somewhere quiet, and just take a moment for yourself. Just allow yourself to arrive. I think we rush so much in life. We're constantly focusing on the next thing, wanting to be right there, right now. We want all of that instant gratification. If there's one thing we've learned, it's that there's no shortcuts in life. And just taking a moment, taking a few minutes of your day right now with me, is going to really have a beautiful impact on your life. Drawing in a nice deep breath. And I want you to try to make sure you're relaxing all of the muscles and you're not forcing the belly outwards. You're just using the breath to move around the body. To feel the shoulders relax. Feeling the mind relax. Focusing on the breath, feeling the rise and the fall, just taking a moment to notice how you feel. Trying to imagine the stress leaving your body. Whatever you've been thinking about, whatever has been holding you back, just let that go right now. You don't need to think about anything else in this moment. Breathing deeply. Allowing yourself to completely unwind. Yourself to take a moment to be still. Breathing slowly. And rather than focusing on what might be coming in the meditation, what might she say? Will I enjoy this meditation? Just be still in the moment. There's nothing else to focus on right now but your breath. Rise and the fall of the breath. Your body feels heavy. Your mind feels light. You're able to take this moment just for yourself. You're able to be present. You know that's here for you. Your body feels heavy. Your mind feels light. I want you to bring one hand onto the heart center. And I really want you to notice how you feel right now. How do you feel?
Notice this feeling and know that you can create this for yourself at any moment. You deserve to feel like this. You deserve to give yourself this moment in time. And just know your meditation practice is always, always there for you. Draw in a nice deep breath. And whenever you're ready, gently open your eyes. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you again next week.